This evening, I invite you to remain standing as you're able in reverence for God's Word as we come to our Gospel lesson tonight. The Gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. Luke 2, 1 through 20, let us hear now the Word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You may be seated. And let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would come over us. Oh God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. Tonight really begins the second season in the Christian year. For the last 4 weeks, starting on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, whenever that may fall, this year it was December 1st. The first season of the Christian year begins Advent, a time of waiting and preparation and expectation. Expecting and preparing, not just recalling and remembering the coming of the Christ child in Bethlehem, but preparing and expecting Christ to come again. We'll move through, starting today, tonight, starting really tomorrow, depending on how you count the time, for the next 12 days through the days of Christmas, and then we'll have Epiphany, and then Lent, and then Easter, and then we will get to that day of Pentecost. And when we get to that day, after that, we will begin the longest season of the Christian year that will last from that day, 50 days, well, 49 days after Easter, until Advent starts again. It is the vast majority of the year, and it is known in Christendom as ordinary time. Now, if you look at the passage that we have before us, you will find that not only are things somewhat normal, well, maybe not normal,
But they are ordinary.
The government wants to collect her taxes. So she wants to know, she really, being ruled by Caesar Augustus, wants to know how many people there are so that the government doesn't get shortchanged. So everyone has to go to take part in a census so that taxes can be levied. And now I know that 2020 is coming up, and for many of us, we might be a little perturbed or annoyed to fill out the census form, how many are in our household. And if you become an unfortunate soul, you get the long form, which asks you things like how many toilets you have in your house.
I mean, the real riveting stuff. And that's essentially what is going on here. But it's stuff that is not only ordinary, it's annoying. Joseph and Mary can't simply fill out a postage card and mail it back in postage prepaid. Both Mary and Joseph are of the house and the lineage of David, and so they have to travel. From Nazareth in the north, they have to go up and south, about 10 to 12 miles south of Jerusalem, to the town of Bethlehem, because that is where David is from, so that they can register. They have to go there, and everyone is going there. Can you imagine the donkey jams? The whole area is abuzz. The region, the roads are swarmed with people. And by the time that they get there, the custom would have been to stay with a relative. And the word here that is so often translated in is really a guest room. Every home would have had one, particularly in the first century, but in Middle Eastern culture, the custom is to open your home. But what do you do when every relative shows up at the same time? Some of us in this next week will realize what that's like for every relative to show up at the same time. And so they stayed in that part of the house on the lower level where the animals were kept, because there wasn't room in that upper room in the guest room for them. It was an annoyance. And more than an annoyance, it was an inconvenience that became a burden. Because Mary was not only with child, the time came for her to give birth. And in the midst of this, all of this ordinary stuff, all of the burdensome, and well, we know the complaints that could have been levied along the way. In the midst of life, God comes. And it is easy for us to look back at that day and to merely relegate the coming of Christ to a manger in Bethlehem. But the fact is that God continues to come. And God's desire is to be born not only in that day, but indeed to be born in us, to come to us. We serve and we believe in a God who is a God of the particular, as well as the God of the ordinary. Christianity stands apart from all other religions in this way. Christianity is not merely a set of principles upon which we should base our lives, and our lives go better if we follow them more closely. That's simply not how Christianity works. Christianity works because we believe at a particular moment in the history of humanity, God came to us. Notice in this passage, there is no mention of the worthiness of Joseph or the worthiness of Mary. Just the choice that God would love his people. And this is how he would do it. Paul, when he writes his letter to the churches of Galatia, puts it this way. Speaking really to a Jewish audience, he pulls back into their history and into the giving of the law. Starting in Galatians 3, verse 26, we read these words. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he or she is no different from a slave. Although he or she owns the whole estate, they are subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by the Father. So also we were children. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of children. Because you are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. Today we come and we celebrate our God. A God who loves us not because we are worthy, not because we are able to live up to some external set of principles or rules of do's and don'ts. But God comes to us even while we are lawbreakers. He comes to be our God, to redeem us and to restore us so we will be his people. Amen.